Hey there, I'm Naya Doesn't, and well, welcome to episode 4. This episode we talk about multiple personalities disorder, meditation, spiritual shit, and then just like whack ass crime system shit like that. How CPS is bullshit and just stuff like that. So, thank you for checking us out, and stick around till the end, and I'll see you then. Peace out. Stay weird. See ya.
Fucking bitch, I messed that up.
Hey.
I messed my intro up.
What a nerd, am
I hope you die a horrible death.
You too.
Fuck you. Damn. Fucking
You
wishing
said
death
that.
upon your boyfriend? How dare you?
You did the same
Shut
thing.
the fuck up. I know. That's part of the joke, dumb bitch.
It's not gonna be. It's all fun and games.
It's all fun and
Until it's.
games. Until it's not.
That's what I was about to say.
Anyway. Okay. So, I know we normally don't have a topic like literally ever,
Yeah.
but I was having
Meditation and spiritual stuff. Yeah.
yeah, I was watching Midnight Gospel, and now I want to talk about that because the last episode was like, damn, Shoddy, it was pretty sad. Like, damn, Shoddy.
Midnight Gospel kind of gets sad, you know?
Yeah, but it was like really good though.
Well, all good things gotta come to an end.
Bullshit. This marriage isn't gonna be coming to the end. Fuck me.
No, it's not. I know it's not. I know it's not.
Are you
Because
calling
it's.
this a bad thing?
Do you want it to end? Then
No!
it's a good thing. It's a great thing.
What the fuck? You make no sense. You said all good things come to an end.
It's not good. It's great.
I hope you die a horrific death. Death,
I'm
death,
so easy.
death,
You
death, death,
like,
death.
oh, don't
Cut my
feel
hair.
blue. Was the color would is your is the is your hair color blue?
No, is are your fucking that was about to sound very weird, and I don't think I'm allowed to ask that on a podcast.
Well, thank God you're not looking kind of blue. That would make me kind of sad, you know?
I'm gonna cut your dick off.
Fair enough. But hey, that'd give me blue balls.
I'm gonna cut
It.
you fucking balls off too.
Oh, okay. I
Hang
kind of
them up
need
on my
those.
fucking wall, bitch.
Those would rot.
I don't give a fuck. I'll hang it up in the, I'll hang it up on the wall.
No, you, okay. If I know you, you wouldn't actually cut my balls or dong off.
Oh no, I would cut your dick off. You don't know me. Clearly you don't know me because I would cut your dick off.
I
With the
very
right
much
promotion.
know. I
If
very much know you.
you provoked me enough, I probably would cut your dick off.
And I would cut this relationship off. That would make me sad. I need that.
Fuck you. You can go get it fixed whenever I go to get a dick.
But
I don't know. I can steal some dead guy's dick and put it onto your fucking non-existent
so,
dick. Yeah.
but that's mean.
You're mean.
What?
Anyway, so I'm not a very spiritual person. Like, I don't meditate or anything like that. I think you know this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a very spiritual. What are you? Do you ever meditate? Do you ever?
I have before. Kind of didn't. Yeah. It kind of didn't like do anything for me.
Oh, okay. So like
Didn't do anything.
is meditation just a load of bullshit?
No, it's not a load of bullshit. It was very calming because, it's what it's supposed to do. It really just like it calms your nerves like a lot. It helps you take things off your mind. It releases like bad feelings, apparently. But whenever
Whoa.
I did that, I don't think I was doing it the right way.
I'm
Because
not
you're kind of
calling
not supposed to, you're not supposed to be distracted.
meditation a load of bullshit.
Why?
Because it sounds like a load of bullshit. Like, logically, it doesn't make any sense. And I'm a big person, like science and shit. I'm a big person. I'm a big believer in like science and shit. Okay, you know this. I'm everything about me has something to do with science. I don't believe in God because, it
I
doesn't make
know.
any sense to me.
No,
Which is why I feel like meditation is just a load of bullshit. Because it's not going to open any third eye. Like that's bullshit.
I don't believe in the third eye part. Like I didn't say that. But like it's pretty cool.
Maybe so. Maybe it is a little cool. Maybe it does calm you down, but that's because you're like fucking sitting there trying to calm down. It would make sense that it calms you down, right? Like it would make sense, but
Yeah.
I feel like it's just a load of bullshit.
In every other sense, yeah.
Fuck me. Don't actually though, because that'd be weird. No, it wouldn't. You're right. What the...
A lot of times you confuse me, but what it is, if you say so.
No, now I'm confused, okay?
What? What? What are you confused about?
A lot of things. Anyway, back onto the topic of like spiritual shit and meditation. Whenever someone's like, oh yeah, I meditated and it fucking opened my third eye, what does that even mean? What does it mean by it opened my third eye? What does someone mean when they say they opened a third eye? Like, there is no third eye, you only have two. Or one.
It
You're disabled.
has something to do, like being more in touch with your spirit and other spirits, I think. Don't quote me on that, please. I'm kind of
I'm
an
gonna
idiot.
quote you on that, babe.
I hate you. No, I don't. It's all a bunch of spiritual stuff. Like, in some cases, it's just you trying to like get more in touch with your spirit. People actually do that. People actually really do that. But a lot of the time, I don't think people realize that it's more about opening your quote unquote third eye. Which
Yeah.
I kind of
Yeah.
really just don't believe in.
Yeah. Because I don't really believe in that either. Like, I used to for a while. It was like, oh, yeah, we definitely have a third eye, blah, 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 all this junk. I was like super into that. And then I was like, well, logically, it doesn't make any sense.
For real.
And like, I've tried like to get into meditation, but I never really like did it.
Yeah. I tried to get into shifting, but honestly, it's literally just dreaming. Like
Yeah.
it's literally what it is. Like you set a goal for your dream, and you're supposed to think about it while you try to go to sleep, and that'll cause your brain to like your dreams are like what's on your mind, what you're thinking, what's going on around you. So if you think about that thing intently, and you do a lot of things to try and get it to happen, of course you're gonna dream it, and most of the time it's really, really, like, what's the word? Vivid.
Vivid, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. And like I just said, it's because you're like always talking, you're thinking about it, probably talking about it. You're doing all those things just to experience it. And
See, like the thought, it now that the thought's in your head, because it takes, because for some people it's really hard to like dream or like purposely dream something. And like I completely get that because it's hard for me to purposely dream something. But whenever they're shifting, they're like, it's the only thing on their mind. So it's like, oh yeah, this is way easier.
yeah. So shifting kind of never, like, I don't know why it's a whole separate thing,
Yeah.
And the con, like, okay, people who believe in shifting, they believe that a double, a copy of you is put into your body while it's asleep.
Yeah.
And it goes throughout your day doing things that you would usually do while you are, in that ultimate reality, And apparently, whenever you wake up, back in the real, your body is just, it's completely normal. Everything continues as it usually would. Now, what never, like, made sense with me, what never clicked, is how that ever works. How is your body supposed to, like, have a whole, like, a basically whole other person inside of you while you sleep, or like shift, like, when, like, just
See,
never
okay.
made sense.
I've never heard that one, so that's a new one for me, but I do get where you're coming from on that one though. I, despite being all this like, oh yeah, fucking science and shit, I do believe in like having a soul and shit. 'Cause like that makes a little bit more sense, something to control your body instead of just your brain. 'Cause from what I like, I feel like the brain shouldn't be sentient, but it is. And I feel like
Yeah,
that's the doing of a soul or something.
like a conscience, it's what gives you thought,
Right.
like, what makes you more unique, like your soul. It's what makes you you,
Yeah. And
basically.
like, the brain is what controls the functions of your body, and then like tells you what to do, but then I personally think the soul is what carries out feelings like, oh, this upsets me, it hurts me, like my soul. And that's personally what I think. I could be
Yeah.
wrong.
Well, it makes more sense because, like, the right brain, it handles emotion. But, like, if we're all the same, if we're all like, if all of our brains are, like, built the same, all of our like organs and stuff, if they're all built the same, then why don't we all operate the same?
Like have the same reactions to certain
Yeah,
things.
have the same reactions to things. Yeah. If we were all truly the same, then none of us would have any different, like, opinions of things. Like, we would all basically just be mindless animals, like,
Yeah,
technically mind, like, yeah, just,
like
all of our thoughts are,
copies of each other.
yeah, basically copies, and we're all unique because of that soul. That soul is what gives us being.
Yeah.
Because you know it is our game.
And like per okay. When so back onto that shifting thing you were talking about, how people are like, oh yeah, there's like a being, like someone else in your body. I don't understand that because you only have one soul, and like I would understand if someone with NPD, multiple personalities disorder, or DID, dissociative identity disorder, whichever it's called right now, because I can't remember if they changed the name or whatever. But it would make a little bit more sense if someone who has multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder, if they had one of their alters taking charge of the host body while they were shifting or while they were in their headspace.
Yeah.
But someone who is a singular host, like they only have one alter in their body, it wouldn't make sense for something else to take their place because they only have one soul. And I feel like people with DID or MPD, the reason all the alters are so different is because they all have different souls.
Yeah, like you like all those souls are just they're put into one body.
One vessel,
Or,
right?
yeah, one vessel, and it's too much for one singular identity to handle, so they all just switch out. Like they all switch out occasionally. And you know, I know it's terrible. I know it's a terrible thing to have multiple personality disorder or whatever, but I'm very curious as to what it's like personalities switch. Like what's it like to have your personality switched? Are you
Okay.
still able to see everything, or are you just put like in a seat in a movie theater? Are you just sitting by? Are you not able to control anything as that other personality?
Okay. So here's something. So back whenever I was at the mental hospital, we had this one person, their name was Nyx. They had NPD. And I got to talk with most of their alters while I was there, and I got to sort of study it a little bit while I was there because that's something that normally calms me down is studying stuff like this. And so the nurses were like, yeah, that's fine. And so I was talking to Nyx, and then I talked to some of their other alters. And I believe, give me 1 minute, I believe I still have the notebook where I took notes. I have to check though. I'm having multiple alters that just, it was so interesting to me, honestly. And
It
of course,
really is.
okay, I did find the notebook. So, for each personality, what I found really interesting was they had their own world. I got to talk with Kai, which was the host. Alex and Adrian. They were all very nice, by the way. They were all very sweet. I enjoyed talking to them. They were really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Adrian's world, I want to talk a little bit about their worlds first before I get into like what it's like disassociating, and then,
That's
well, from what I
completely fine.
Had learned from them. But for Adrian's world, it was so interesting. Cause well, he was so interesting because they didn't have mental hospitals and it was sort of this apocalyptic world.
Oh.
It was so interesting to like talk to them about. They had someone who wasn't our president. They had a different president. He was interesting. It was so nice to talk to them about it, really. They had so much to talk about. It was amazing. Adrian, it seems like alters mostly have a pretty good relationship with each other, and NPD or DID is normally stemmed from trauma. People make these altars, or these altars appear whenever they really need support or they need protecting. So they got diagnosed with NPD at a pretty young age because of trauma, which
Yeah.
really sucks. And I mean, I wish it wasn't like that, because that it hurts me personally that people are getting put through so much trauma that they have to make people to protect them because their family won't do it. But from what they told me, in their headspace, it's like a big mansion for them. That was what their headspace looked like. It's like a big mansion, which was really cool. And they did give me like an idea of what it looked like, and I got to talk to some of their littles, which was really nice. They were adorable, I do have to say. It sounds really weird because this kid, because the host is like 16, and the littles were like 4 and 5, and it was so adorable. I kid you not, they were
Mom.
adorable. I really enjoyed talking to them. I enjoyed talking to all of the alters a lot. They were awesome, really. And they were really like, they were nice about me, like wanting to know about them. Like they weren't like, why do you care why do you care about us? Like shit, like why do you care what our world looks like? Shit like that. They were like, oh yeah, this is fine. Like they were fine with it, and it was completely like, it was really nice that they were like just completely fine with sharing about their world with me and about them and what their relationships were like with other people. It was, they were, I can't say enough good things about them, sorry.
It's okay.
That was one of my first encounters with someone with MPD. Not the, but one of the first. My very first encounter was with this kid named Dakota. He claimed to have DID, but I couldn't be certain. But I wanted to believe him on that, so we're gonna say he had MPD because he said he had MPD. He said he's been diagnosed and everything, so I'm gonna believe him. I did get to talk with a few of his alters, but I don't have the notes from that, and that was like a few years ago. But some of his alters, they were nothing like Nyx's. They were very hostile and rude towards me for wanting to know more about them, which is understandable. Like, why? What? Who is this person? And why do they want to know about us? Like, what's going on? Because they didn't really know me. I was only friends with the host, not the alters. So they were like, who the fuck is this, and why do they want to know about us? This is weird. But I did get to learn a little bit about them. Sorry, I'm rambling. I'm trying to figure out where I left off, because I'm not.
Don't be sorry about rambling. That's basically what this is. And it's okay.
Okay, shit, what were we talking about?
We're talking about we it kind this whole thing kind of stemmed off of first meditation and then multiple personality disorder. And then I wondered it like what it's like to switch to like go between personalities, what it's like to be one personality
Right, right.
while
Okay.
the other one's in action.
Right. Okay. So whenever the other personalities are in the headspace and someone is taking control of the body or the vessel or whatever you want to call it, it's basically they can see what's going on. It's not that hard to see what's going on, but most of the time they'll go off and do their own things. They have their own rooms. They have their own little places that they can little like hang out in while someone else is taking care of the host or taking care of the body. They can see what's going on. They can't interact as much, but they can talk to the whoever is controlling the body at the time through the headspace. And it's really interesting because when you disassociate, it's basically one body stepping away from control from base from what. Okay, sorry. Nyx said something about a control center, and if your bo if the altar is taking control of the body, they go to the control center. Basically, whenever they're disassociating or switching personalities, the one that was in control before steps away from the control center, and someone else takes the lead. They can see what's going on, but most of the time, from what I had learned and from what they had told me, is they don't really care what's going on, and they just sort of hang out.
Honestly, it's like it's really interesting.
It really is.
I really don't want to have multiple personality disorder because I am aware that it is like terrible. It can like lead to a lot of negative things,
Yeah.
if not treated correctly or like not paid attention to at all. But I want to see what it's like from the point of view of a personality. But at the same time, having it is a whole another thing than talking about it.
Yeah. And
Because talking about it is just like, oh, this happens, that happens, well, how, well, ka-chow. But like having it is so much more complex and usually really difficult to explain, you know?
yeah. And I'm sure somewhere, like, there are, I'm not sure. I know, wait, then I am sure. Okay, sorry. I'm dying. There are interviews of, like, people interviewing people with NPD or DID, and I have watched the videos, and they are pretty interesting, and I would say that's a good place to go if you want to learn a bit more about the disorders. I'd have to find the video, and I'll put it in the description of this podcast, but it's the videos are really interesting. But DID on its own, or NPD, it's all just like so much to talk about. It would take like multiple podcast episodes just to cover that one topic.
Yeah, there is so much.
There is a lot to uncover there. It's not just, oh yeah, multiple personalities. That's like the simplest form of the disorder, because then you got to talk about like, how did it happen? Why do they have multiple personalities? And really, for most people, it sort of just depends on the person.
It's like a rabbit hole. Mean to disconnect from it.
Oh no, that I don't think that was on you. I think that might have been on me.
It was probably on me because I was kind of like fumbling with my phone trying to pick it up.
Ah.
And whichever one it was, yeah, we're back.
We're back. Don't worry about it. Sorry, but please continue what you were saying.
What was my last few words? I kind of blanked out.
I have literally no clue. I can't
Shit.
even remember what we were talking about.
Okay. So earlier I was wondering like whenever you mentioned like they see things through different worlds for each personality, I wondered for a second if like for every person, everyone sees the world through a different like pair of glasses. Like it is already a pretty like a really well-backed theory that everyone sees colors differently. Like different colors are in different shades for everyone else, and that's why everyone has like different favorite colors, or like that's already led up to like emotion, feeling. But like usually, like there's a lot of things backing up that theory. But like if it's that for colors, then could it also be the same for like being like the whole world, like the way that people see each other.
See, I think like that could definitely be true. But From what I heard about from talking to people with multiple altars, they didn't say they saw the world differently. It was sort of just, well, we all interpret things differently. Like, it's not necessarily being seen differently, it's that it's getting interpreted differently. Like, one person could see something and think, oh, that's super pretty, and then another person would interpret it and be like, hey, that's kind of ugly. You know? I think for altars, it's like mostly up to interpretation.
And that's kind of the almost what I was talking about, like pretty much like people can see things as pretty ugly depending on your tastes. Maybe the reason that we have different tastes is not just isn't just, like our feelings, our preferences, or whatever. I mean, it's kind of preference, but like maybe it's more.
Yeah.
Like again, we see the world through different glasses, different views, different everything. Well, not everything. A lot of things are the same. Like the way that we see shapes. Shape is kind of the same. It's all the same for every shape.
Most.
But the main thing that I'm trying to get at here is that people don't just perceive things differently. People also see physically things differently. And this is kind of already true with people with dyslexia, stuff like that. Color blindness, which is probably just a more like if the color theory is true, like everyone sees colors differently. If that's true, then color blindness is just a more like advanced thing of that. Like it's just more
It's more severe.
noticeable. Yeah, it's more severe. It's more like diagnosable. For everyone else, it's just kind of, you can't really explain it.
It's sort of
It's
subtle.
sort of yeah. So, damn, what was I talking about?
Seeing things differently.
Yeah, seeing things differently. We all see like shapes that we all see shapes the same.
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. But like if dyslexic people can't really like they have trouble reading letters because like I have a dyslexic friend. Their name is like I'm not gonna like disclose their like all of their information, but their name is Shelby. They have told me that like letters sometimes like they don't look the same as they usually do.
I don't know if you know this, but I am dyslexic.
Oh yeah, you told me. Yeah. You told me before.
It is really hard for us to like see, like Shelby had said, yeah, it is, letters do look different sometimes, and it's especially hard because I know multiple languages, and with the multiple languages, they have different alphabets.
Yeah.
And so that just makes it so hard for me to like read English letters because it'll look like a Russian or a German letter. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Okay, like
So,
what the hell is this word? And then the words will get jumbled up and I can't even read it, which is why I normally use like voice text and shit.
and that's mainly why whenever you don't really like understand something, can't really read something correctly, that's why it's completely forgiven. It's okay. But yeah, if dyslexia affects letters, what if people see different things like dyslexia, like letters don't look right. What if some things don't look right to other people, but they just think it's normal for them because they see it like that every day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see where you're coming with that. Like, we don't realize it's weird because we see it every day, blah, 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 all that junk. It's same with a lot of dyslexic people. Or It was the same with me. Like, I didn't realize it was a problem until it was getting really, really hard to read. Because it was like,
Yeah.
that was normal for me. I was like, oh, that just looks weird. I guess that's how everyone sees it. Because I didn't see it as a problem until later on in life when it was like, I can't even read this anymore. People say I should be able to read this because it's easy words, but I can't even read it. And I always thought that was normal. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this isn't normal because people are reading it super easily and I'm stumbling over my words. So, like, what's going on here? So I told my mom, took me to the doctor, and she's like, yeah, you got dyslexia. I'm like, oh, damn, how did I not realize this? Well, because I thought it was normal, because that's how I had grown up, that's
Because
how I lived.
you didn't even know dyslexia was a thing.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Which is really weird because I was never taught about dyslexia. I only knew it because I knew what it was because I had it. Okay, they don't teach you about this stuff in school, from what I've realized.
They schools never really they never really inform kids about like what things are normally like if like they don't really where am I going with this? Schools don't really talk about anything like
Never
this.
once heard a school talk about a learning disability that isn't like super widely like, oh, this is pretty bad. Like,
Yeah.
I've heard schools talk about autism, but very rarely. It's pretty rare, but I've heard them talk about it. I've never heard a school talk about dyslexia or what's it called? Having a speech impediment or
Yeah.
having any kind of learning disability. Like, I never hear that other than autism, but that is very rarely. And you know, it kind of sucks because, like, come on, we need to know about this stuff. Like, I didn't even realize it was a thing until my mom was like, yeah, you kind of sort of have that.
My brother got speech therapy for his speech impediment, which he had. And the only reason why they checked that was because he, one, wasn't learning on the same page as the other kids at the same rate. He wasn't talking in the at the same like speed. He wasn't understanding words well. He wasn't reading words well. Like he was understanding the words, but he wasn't able to like talk them. He wasn't able to pronounce them. So that was the only time that like I didn't even know what a speech impediment was until my brother got a treatment for it at school. Not treatment, but like he got help with it.
Yeah. And my little brother, he had to go to speech therapy as well because he was tongue-tied.
Yeah.
Which I've heard a lot of people been like, oh yeah, that's not that bad. No, it is pretty bad because he couldn't speak as fast as the other kids, so he had to go to speech therapy and everything for it. He had to get the tie under his tongue cut and everything, and it sucked because he couldn't even speak, and he was trying, he really was, but he couldn't do it. And it really sucked. But not once have I ever heard a school talk about how hard it is for people with these kind of speech impediments.
Yeah, like the schools never really try and like
Like,
assess those things.
they don't inform the students properly in the slightest. Like, they teach what's on the
Yeah.
curriculum and nothing important.
And that's why there are so many awareness programs about these things because schools never really talk about them at all. No one, barely anyone is informed about these things at like it's like some people don't even know what they are by like middle school. So like whenever they hear about them, they're like, oh, what's that? It can't be that because schools don't talk about them at all. And like again, that's why there are so many awareness programs and why they have so much support because schools don't
Right.
talk about them at all.
Right. And complete this is like completely off topic, but well, I mean not completely, but pretty off topic. Tell me why schools don't raise awareness for suicide. Tell me why. Give me one good reason.
The schools, They try to. They don't try to
No.
raise. They don't raise. No. They don't try to raise. They don't try to raise awareness. But they try. The keyword is try to help students who are suicidal, going through some stuff with counseling. But the thing is, those counselors will tell your parents everything that you tell
Right.
them. And that's kind of counterintuitive, because if you want a student to tell you what's going on, especially if it's bad, you can't tell your parent. You can't tell the parents, because the
Like,
parents, maybe
I
the
understand.
if the
I
parents are the source of the problem, then it's not going to help anything. It
Yeah,
didn't
and
answer.
I completely understand. Like, if they're t if the kid's talking about being suicidal or something, like being like, yeah, I'm gonna kill myself. It's gonna happen. Or if the school finds cut marks or something on their body or bruises or something like that, I understand being like, hey, maybe we should tell your parents about this. 'Cause that's understandable. I mean, the kid is threatening to hurt themselves. I mean, I would want them to feel like better and stuff, and maybe it would require telling parents. But if it's just like, yeah, I'm just kind of upset, bullying, stuff like that, and my parents are like, I don't know, upsetting me or something. Like, I don't understand why they have to go and tell their parents, because I went to a counselor, or the school counselor back in Houston one time. My parents knew everything. They're like, oh, sweetheart, are you okay? I'm like, what the fuck? I trusted this bitch.
Like I said, if the parents are the
Nothing.
source of the problem, then telling the parents about that isn't going to help anything. In fact, it's probably just going to make things worse.
Exactly, because then my parents were like super overbearing, super overprotective, and it just made my life harder to like deal with. And like I understand overprotective parents, like it's fine most of the time, but it's not fine when they're controlling everything about you. And that was honestly becoming a problem for me because I can't do people controlling me. That is something I can't do. But they were doing it.
Yeah. Helicopter parents are they want to help. They want to be involved in their child's lives, but it really doesn't. It makes the child not want to be around their parents at all. Helicopter parents, they try to like be the best parents that they can. They control everything about the kid. The kid,
Yeah.
like children, are supposed to like have privacy every so often, just like how parents are. Like, that's how you build a healthy relationship with your kid. You give them privacy, but you don't completely alienate them out of your life, out of
Yeah.
your lives. You build a relationship with them,
In a
like,
healthy manner.
yeah, in a healthy way.
And like, I know a lot of parents, they try and it ends up coming off like they're helicopter parents. Like they want to be involved. It's like, hey, oh, cool, you're going to your friend's house, let me take you. Some people would like things like that. I've noticed that people are starting to feel like more and more that that's like being a helicopter parent, but it's just them sort of getting more involved. And
Yeah.
that's good. Parents wanting to get involved in family stuff. That's good. Or just getting involved more is good, but when they're like taking away doors or not letting people lock the doors or taking their phone for no reason and searching it or constantly having a monitor on where they are, that's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, that's not, that is actually like, that is the That, that that's the that's basically what a helicopter parent that is what a helicopter parent is. A helicopter parent is it's not like trying it's not wondering what your child's up to. Like yeah, you're if you're a parent and you have a child, you're gonna wonder what your child's up to if they're just completely silent, like complete radio silence for multiple days. It's not wondering what your child's up to. It's not trying to talk to you. It's taking away things
When
so
you
that
don't
you can monitor them.
want
You can't force a relationship with your kid.
right. Or like I've noticed that people, parents will take away stuff whenever their kids don't feel safe talking to them about like issues that are going on.
Yeah.
You know, that 'cause that happened to me. My mother and father had taken away my phone whenever I didn't feel comfortable talking to them about something. And it became a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I love them. I love them. I love my mom. I really do. And I would have talked to her, but I didn't feel safe at the time talking to her. And she had to understand that. But she said, unless I talked, I wasn't going to be able to get any of my devices back. And now I'm seeing a psychiatrist. So look at that. See where that got me, Mom?
Oh boy.
Yeah. And I understand she just wanted to help, but there are plenty of other ways to help. And threatening to take stuff away or actually taking things away just because a child doesn't feel safe talking to you isn't one of the ways that you raise a healthy relationship with your child.
Yeah.
And it certainly isn't the way to help.
The way that you want to help your kid is by, is like offering to help by not by like prying and prying on about what they're doing, about their personal life. Like, it's just by offering, like, hey, it, I can tell that you're not doing your, I'm not do, you're not doing be, you're not doing your best. You're not as talkative as you usually are. Like offering help is, it's a way to build a bond. And if you, and if your kid is it feels safe enough to talk to you about those problems, then that means
That's
that you have
good.
a pretty good bond. Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great.
Well, look at us, two fucking edgy teenagers t talking about how you should raise your child.
Okay. Whenever I called you edgy that one time, I know. Okay. Someone called you edgy and you got really offended. I said, you're not edgy. And then you said, no, fuck you. I am.
I'm edgy, bitch. I'm literally fucking face painting blood on my face. I'm edgy, okay?
Okay. Yeah, you're edgy.
No,
Well,
okay. Fucking screw serious topics. Now we're gonna talk about how I'm edgy. No, but yeah, that's like a really big part of like having a healthy relationship with your child is that kind of trust. That like
yeah.
having trust that your child trusts you enough to talk to you, that's pretty damn good. I haven't trusted my parents enough to talk to them in a while because they pried. And it always made me feel like, hey, I can't even talk to them because then they're gonna go talk about my stuff to everyone else. And like that was becoming a problem. And parents who are like that and go telling their kids' business to everybody, that's especially horrible.
The okay, I hate that about some parents. They will tell other members of the family things that the child either told them or wanted to keep a secret from their parents. Wrote it down in a notebook, and then the parents found the notebook.
Whenever I had come out to as trans, everybody in my family found out because my parents told everyone. And that was really hard for me because I wasn't ready for everyone to know. Like my teacher, he didn't mean to, pr I promise you. He's like the best guy ever. He didn't mean to out me, but he had to ask my mom if it was okay if he used the name I wanted, which was at the time Jace. And he didn't tell me that he was gonna ask my mom, 'cause I guess he assumed that it was fine. I really wish he would have asked me, 'cause I would have been like, no, it's okay, really, you can just call me Jaden, that's fine. 'Cause I wasn't ready for my mom to know, and he didn't mean to, but he had asked, and me and my mom got into this huge argument, and my dad started getting upset at me because of this, and everyone in my family found out. They were yelling at me, telling me I wasn't allowed to do that, and that they should get a say in what my name was. Things like that. And that really hurt
Parents.
me. It really hurt me because I wanted to keep that. Like, that was supposed to be only with my immediate family when I was ready to tell them. I wasn't ready to tell them. But they thought I was, and they went ahead and just told everybody. And it hurt me because then a lot of my family started resenting me because I was trans, and it really hurt because I'm losing touch with a lot of family members because of this.
Yeah.
And this was when I was
And
in the sixth grade at the time, and it was like it ruined me. It just ruined me.
parents will do that and then wonder why their kid is like so distant from them, why they don't want to have anything to do with them.
Yeah. And okay, I'm not here to talk shit about my grandpa because I love him. He's great. He does so much for me. But he wonders why I'm always sort of sour with him, but he makes these air quotations jokes. I know they're supposed to be jokes, but they still really hurt. Like picking fun at me or saying things that actually really hurt. I know he doesn't mean to. But then he gets offended when I'm like, hey, can you not say that? That really hurt. He's like, oh, it's just a joke. You know, it's just a joke. And I know it's just a joke, but it still hurt. And you wonder why I'm always a little sour. But I know it's just fun and games, and I really shouldn't be as sour. It's just jokes. Anyway, 40 minutes in, and I've lost topics to talk about.
I mean, we've done worse, haven't we?
Yeah.
And also, we actually stayed on a topic for way longer than I thought we
We normally
would. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good.
Yeah.
But okay. Let me think. I need a minute to think of a new topic.
If you can't think of one, that's all right.
No, we need a topic.
Okay.
Say we've been talking about what I want to talk about mostly for like most of this podcast. What do you want to talk about?
Fractals.
What?
Fractals. Do you know what a
Fuck.
fractal is?
No.
Okay. A fractal is an image. Like, bear with me here. Bear with me here. A fractal is an infinitely zoomable, like you can zoom in on an image for as long as you want and it'll never stop going. Fractals are like you can go into any spot of the original image and zoom in on that image for as long as you want. The fractal never ends. It is completely infinite. And it doesn't loop on itself. No, it is completely different every second. The fractals, they're really just around to be cool, but a lot of the time they can be really interesting to look at, to watch, to examine, to see how they work. But fractals have always fascinated me in some weird way. Because usually they're in like patterns. They have patterns all over them and these repeating colors, like they've been made to look like that. And if you really think about it for long enough, it's really just like it's one infinitely large image that you can infinitely zoom into. It's forever getting smaller, but forever not getting smaller because it's, infinite. But fractals are really just one image. They're not really that big, but I mean, technically they're gigantic, infinitely huge. Can't really make them any smaller, any bigger.
You
They're
seem like
just.
you're wanting to talk about this for a while.
No, I just really like fractals. But like, fractals, again, really just consists of like patterns and shapes. Like I have a poster on my wall that is a fractal. It's supposed to be like the beginning image of a fractal. But like you can't really zoom in on it infinitely. Fractals are not physical. If they were, they would probably cause a black hole to appear because of all the mass and because they're infinitely, big.
Yeah.
The fractal in my room has like a rainbow of colors in the middle and a big star shape. And around it is the same star shape but smaller. And around all of those is a bunch of blue and yellow spheres, hexagons and spheres. And I imagine if I saw this image and I zoomed in on it, it would probably, it would, on whatever color I zoomed in, it would probably keep that same like color spectrum.
Yeah.
I haven't really looked at many fractals, but they fascinate me. I'm like, don't quote me on this, but if I'm sure that if you zoom in on one specific color, it will maintain that same color spectrum for a good amount of time before switching to another one. And
Right.
I'm if in a fractal, like you go wherever you can to, look at fractals. If you can pause it and you like move it over to zoom in on a different spot, it would do the same thing over there. It would just continue to go on. I'm pretty sure there are randomly generated fractals, but fractals have always fascinated me. But again, they're infinite. Can't really get much out of them
Right.
because they just look neat. But if you look at them while like you're on drugs or something, they'll probably make you feel something funny.
Oh,
Make you
yeah,
see
I
things because, like I said, they are extremely colorful. They have a mix of colors. They have
imagine
specific
tripping on acid and then you look at one of
VR too. Oh my God. Oh my God.
those.
Could you, okay, if you were on acid, hallucinating like balls, like literally upside down, and you went into VR, would you hallucinate things in VR?
I would assume so, but I don't
Would
know.
things appear in your virtual reality space? Would
I mean,
things.
like logically, I would think so.
Would things, like would things conform to the reality that you've been put into? Or would things, normally just like be terrifyingly out of place?
I don't know. I would think like logically because LSD blocks your serotonin receptor, and once you block your serotonin receptor, you start hallucinating like shit. I would assume that you would hallucinate on VR as well.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong because I've never done acid while in VR.
I've gone into VR multiple times before, and every single time it is such an eye-opening experience. Like we've come so far technology-wise that we can literally just make these virtual worlds where we can just interact with anything that we want. Eventually, this technology is going to become a cheap enough to where anyone can afford it because we're advancing so far in technology to where a lot of things are just becoming readily available, like cell phones. Cell phones have either increased or decreased in price exponentially. You can go to your local dollar store and buy a phone for $40 just out of the blue. You can just ask, hey, can I buy this phone? $40. They'll get they'll you give them $40, ka-chow, you get a phone. And that phone, it may not be the best, but it is a cell phone. You have the internet at your fingertips, infinite knowledge to consume for $40, sometimes even less.
Right. I've seen phones for $30, $20.
Yeah, it's crazy how low such insane things could be priced at. Because they are so they're so complex. They're made, they have all these things just readily available.
And honestly, it's amazing how this is all just common and normal now. Like having a cell phone is just normal. Like if you don't have one, you're strange. Like that's so weird to
Yeah,
me.
it's so like okay. One of my acquaintances, I'll call them, because they're kind of they're kind of homophobic, pretty racist, probably. They don't, but
Right.
it's probably more. It probably makes more sense that they are extremely country, like they are from the deep south.
Right.
They just haven't really consumed technology that much at all.
That would also
So,
explain why they're fucking homophobic and
yeah,
racist.
I never understood that the more southern you are, the more country you are, the more racist you are.
That's customs and shit, because like the Confederate place, the Confederate shit, that was like built off of racism.
Yeah. I never understood racism or homophobia though. Like I think I've said this before on the podcast, but like why can't anyone just love each other the way that we are? Except for fucking Vore likers. If you like Vore, like you do you, but that's weird as fuck.
Oh, and those people who think being a pedophile is a sexuality, fucking
No,
died.
it is not. And I hate how much it resembles other flags. Like
Right?
the Like it's like it looks like it would be it looks like it would be an actual sexuality. So it would fool so many people.
If that became mainstream, if that became like mainstream and people were like, yeah, being a pedophile is solely a sexuality and that's just normal now, I would literally kill myself. I'd be like, nope, I can't do this anymore. This is horrible. This is worse than so many different things that I've experienced. I can't do it.
It's the same thing with quote unquote zoo pride. I'm pretty sure you can guess what that is.
Oh God, the bestiality sexuality.
Yes. God. People genuinely like there are full accounts dedicated to this stuff, completely made to promote that kind of thing, saying that animals can quote unquote consent. They cannot.
They are animals. The hell are you talking about, bro?
Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. People are that sick in the head to actually think that.
Okay, so Instagram ain't exactly the best place. It's kind of horrible. You get a lot of different people on there. Especially the pedophiles. Ain't that fun? Someone who dedicated their entire account to promoting map sexuality or whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah, let me just tell you some of the crap they spread on their fucking story. Their age range is 3 to 10. This person is over 20.
Yeah,
And
it's kind of
don't think that's where it ends. And don't even think it's
there's
where it ends. Someone had asked, if you had a child and they were a female, would you have sex with them because they're your age range? She fucking said
no.
yes.
Oh my God.
Like dead ass, this woman's like, yeah, I would. If they were my age range and if they were a girl, yeah.
That's not only literally incest, that's both illegal in so many ways.
And she
It's
said it was,
so wrong.
that children could consent because she consented when she was younger. And she compared saying yes to ice cream to saying yes to having intercourse with an adult.
Those are completely different things.
Deadass, she was like, if a child can say yes to ice cream or say yes to a new video game or a doll, then Shouldn't they be able to consent to sex? Like, no, man, those are different things. That's horrible. And she her account's still up, I'm pretty sure. I forgot what the at was, but her account is still up.
It's probably not okay. It's not my, it is not, it's not just a probably, it is better on Twitter. They're like full accounts dedicated to literal zoo pride, map pride, as like not just one specific person. There are multiple people running that one account,
That's
and it just,
horrible. Oh my God.
it hurts to see. It hurts to just read what they preach. It's so bad. I sometimes, this world is just so plagued with stuff like that. It's painful.
And
Actually painful.
like at some point you'd think this shit is satire, but they genuinely think that there is nothing wrong with what they're doing.
Yeah, like okay.
That's what the problem is here. They don't realize what they're doing is a problem.
I've seen some people joke about that. Like, I thought whenever I saw something like that again, I thought, eh, they're joking. They're not serious. But then I looked further into it. They were not joking. In fact, they were 100% serious about what they were doing. And sometimes they know what they're doing is wrong. They know what they're doing is immoral, but they do it anyways.
And that's what I don't understand. Like, if you know it's wrong, if you know it's bad, like, why would you do it?
But it's kind of, it's not much better to not know that it's wrong, 'cause that's just complete ignorance.
Yeah. That's one of those things you should just know is wrong. And see, I'm gonna compare this to murder real quick. A lot of people know it's wrong, but they'll do it anyway. Say it be in self-defense or just their own personal gain. I don't support people who do it just for their own personal gain, but they know it's wrong. I do support people who do it for good ass reason. But
Yeah.
honestly, if you know something's wrong, but you do it anyway, you're gonna be put in jail for that, right? Like, if you know murder's wrong, but you go out and kill some people anyway, no self-defense, nothing like that, they're gonna put you in jail, okay? Now,
Yeah.
what do these people not understand? That they're gonna get put in jail if they actually go and have intercourse with a child. Or have intercourse with an animal and they get caught.
Yeah, they're going in there. Go bye bye.
And
Honestly,
trust me,
I feel
prisons aren't too nice to pedophiles. No,
they
they're
are
not.
not. I am very aware. Like, okay, I saw a news article that said something about a person beat a pedophile to near death or to death because he was watching PBS. He was watching the PBS channel. And
Holy shit.
apparently, the person who beat the pedophile got a longer sentence, even though
Bruh.
it was completely justified. It was
That's
basically the pedophile was basically just repeating his actions again in the safety of a prison, or the quote unquote safety.
and see, sorry, that was kind of loud, but okay. And here's another thing. In prison, my father told me about this one story in particular. So, at the time when my father was in prison, my father was in. Hold on, let me shut the door. It's loud out there. Ugh. My bad. But at the time when my father was in prison, he had to go watch a trial. Now, this man was a pedophile. My dad sitting next to another inmate, him and the inmate, they were friends, sort of. I mean, they were acquaintances. So they're like watching the sentence, or the not they're watching the trial, and in this trial, whenever it's mentioned that this guy was a pedophile, the person, the inmate sitting next to my father, hopped over and beat the ever-living shit out of him.
Good Jesus.
And it was amazing to hear the story. But get this, pedophiles in certain facilities have to get put in under protection so they don't get their asses like absolutely just beat.
They don't even deserve protection. They don't even deserve to, they don't even
Exactly.
deserve to like be there. They don't deserve to be anywhere. Honestly, I feel like the sentence for being a pedophilic rapist or anything like that, anything related to being a pedophile should result in death.
Exactly. And see, okay. Shut the fuck up. Oh my God. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Whenever I was in the sixth grade, my reading class, my teacher, she knew me. She knew I liked mur I like she knew I liked like making papers or doing presentations about death, injustice, police stuff, anything that has to do with like stuff like that. Like I'm big on that kind of stuff and not like, ooh, what ice cream is the best? Like, shut the fuck up. No. She gave me a paper article. She gave me an article and then she said, I need you to read this. And I need your opinion, and you're gonna present it to the class. I was like, okay. She was like, all right. The topic is, should death penalty be legal? And for me, I was like, no, it shouldn't. No, it shouldn't, because they should have to rot in prison. Now, pedophiles, I even made this point in the presentation. I said, pedophiles or rapists or anyone who does something to someone that they don't want in a sexual manner, they deserve the death penalty. They deserve execution. But murderers, criminals like that, they deserve to rot. No,
Yeah.
pedophiles, they can die. They can die right on the spot. We don't need them. We don't need them to procreate, nothing like that. They can die. Okay?
Like, we specifically don't need them to procreate because if they're going to do that to children, what would they do to their children?
Exactly. And that's I can't, I'm not going to disclose names because that would be way out of like what I'm allowed to even talk about. I'm not going to
Yeah.
talk, I'm not going to say names or anything like that, but I did have a friend at one point and their father had done things to them and their uncle had done things to them. Their father, I guess he didn't have a history with that, or else they wouldn't have let him have ch children or have visitation or anything like that. But he had visitation after their mother and father divorced, the father still had visitation.
Yeah.
And it wasn't it like if he had had a like history with that, a record of being of sexually assaulting or just assaulting in general, he wouldn't have been allowed to have visitation, but he had visitation, and I had even had to call CPS at some point to be like, hey, that guy's a rapist. The fuck? He still has visitation.
Oh
But
my
guess what?
God.
But guess what? My parents are doing a little bit of drugs. Nope, you gotta go to your grandparents. You can't stay around them. Nope.
What the fuck? What
And
I
I
hate about
became a
this country
caseworker.
is
I was down
they
whenever
handle
he
drugs.
pulled me out of, I'm sorry, I'm gonna keep interrupting you for a second. He pulled
Okay.
me out of class to talk, like I was in Houston, they pulled me out of class to talk to me and I was super nervous. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And they're like, okay, here's the thing, I gotta talk to you. I'm like, they're like, you might get put into foster care. I was like, oh, because my parents do a little smoky smoky of the weed. Ooh, I have to go away. But when my bet like my best they were my best friend at the time. But when my best friend is getting sexually assaulted, nope. Let's let him keep having visitation.
I hate how this entire country handles with such minor things like drugs. If it's going to ruin their life, it's going to ruin. If they know it's going to ruin their life, if they do it anyway, they should get help with that. But if they're doing it harmlessly, there's no reason to stop them. They're
Right,
not
and
doing
my
wrong.
father, he was due to go to jail anyway. They were going to catch him eventually. He wasn't going to be able to keep running. So, and my dad was the real problem. My mother, no, mom, she was just smoking a little bit of weed to ease her nerves sometimes. It was literally it.
Yeah.
And nor and like if it hadn't been for the fact that CPS didn't do shit about my friend getting literally raped, I wouldn't have cared so much about this. I would have been like, oh wow, whoops. I guess CPS really does give a fuck. I don't know. But they don't. Because why the fuck would they, right? Why would they care about the children?
CPS is just, it's, they're so, sometimes they do good things, other times they just don't make any sense.
They're
Like my,
backwards
okay.
as it is.
Yeah, they're just, my te, okay, a little bit off topic, but my teacher called CPS about my little brother's teeth because he wasn't brushing them and they were kind of, eh. Kind of not looking so great. He's brushing them now. He has good teeth now. But my teacher called CPS for that, and we had to explain to him everything. So yeah, we're everything's all right now. But my the CPS man, he was a great guy. He was a great guy. He listened. He even gave us gifts. Like he gave us board games. For some reason, I think it was, I don't know why,
For
but
some
whenever
reason.
he asked, he we talked in my room privately. Since I was like the older kid, I had to talk about that kind of stuff. I had to talk to him and be completely honest with him. He asked me questions about like what life was, what I if anything was going wrong. And honestly, at that time, nothing was really going bad. I gave him the complete truth and nothing but the truth. But the thing that kind of set me off was my parents telling me that if the CPS man asked me a specific question, to lie about it. And it's complete like about their it was about their medicine, which they kind of have to take. They have to take it. But I'm pretty sure that if I told if the CPS man asked if my parents were doing any kind of drugs, then I would be taken away. It is completely understandable that I would have to lie about that because I don't want to be taken away from my parents. I love them. I love them a lot. And one simple mishap, the stupid way that this entire country is built off of the rules against drugs like that would cause me to be taken away from my parents. And the thing is, I think he did ask that question, if I remember correctly. Yes, hey, do your parents do you do any kind of drugs? Do they do anything? Parents said, not understanding why. And I lied about them. I lied about it. The thing is, if I didn't, I probably wouldn't even be here. Like in this town. I might have been in this town, I don't know. But I probably wouldn't be with my parents. My parents might have probably gotten locked up. Who knows?
Right.
Like the way that this country handles drugs is so back ass words. They don't handle them in any good way, except for the rehabilitation centers. Those they work occasionally. They help. They are completely. They don't. They're completely confidential. They don't like tell the police. They don't call them like, "Hey, yo, this guy was doing drugs." They help you with your addiction. But
And
if you are caught,
the reason they don't call the police about you doing drugs is most of the time is because it's court ordered that you be there.
yeah. If you go there then to get help, go you.
Right,
But
right.
if you go to a rehabilitation center and say, "Hey, I was kind of abusing drugs, I need help with it," they'll probably try to help you. But if you're caught doing drugs, they won't help you. They'll arrest you and throw you in jail for like 10 years.
And a big issue is that with like that is sometimes they'll order rehab for people who are doing hard drugs and like need to detox before they even like get locked up because they will die. But there are also points in time where they don't give a fuck and there are people having seizures and dying in prison because of their past addictions that they're trying to get clean from.
Yeah.
Which ain't good.
Yeah, of course it's not good. They just sometimes they're like, you help, everything's going to be okay. But most of the time that like that is like that is extremely rare. Most of the time they lock you up like for such a long time.
And
Just for just for doing a little bit of bit of grass, a little bit of weed, a little bit of gas.
see, okay, N for weed, it's not normally like a very long sentence. I'd say more like bars or heroin or crack cocaine, stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. But like, you can still get thrown in the juicy slammer, just for doing,
For weed.
just for weed, like stuff like crack cocaine, meth, Xanax. It's like, what did you do wrong? What are you harming? If you're doing it by yourself, not disrupting anyone around you with it, what did you do wrong?
You mean
Besides hurt
like,
yourself.
oh, okay. Well,
Like,
breaking the law, because they are illegal in a lot of places.
yeah.
Bars,
Like, but
Xanax, heroin, all that's pretty illegal in a lot of places.
my I have a really, I'm probably not that smart, but like I'm really confused as to why these things are illegal. I
Because
okay.
they're chemicals that you're putting into your body, and it's literally killing you. Like, come on, man. Why wouldn't they be illegal? We're trying that, like, at the
I was about to say that they're kind of life-threatening. They can kill you. They might kill you if you do too much. They
they're legal.
can affect
Like,
you.
want to know the main reason Kurt Cobain fucking bit? You want to know the main reason Kurt Cobain is dead? My all-time favorite artist, by the way. Blah, blah, blah. Because somebody, after he took a shot of heroin, decided to put a little bit more in his system, and that little bit more is what killed him. Because that's three times the lethal dose that was in his body.
Yeah. Like I was about to say, that stuff can kill you. It can mess you up, but why is the first reaction that like, okay, this is better, an explanation of what I meant to say. Why is the first reaction that the Popo,
The
the man in blue 12, why is the first reaction that they have to like arrest you, and like then you'd throw you in the slammer.
Okay, so I'm gonna stop you right there. The first reaction isn't normally throw you in jail. The first reaction, depending on how bad, like how badly you were abusing said drug, is to try to get you help, put you in a rehabilitation center. But before they can put you in the rehab, they're gonna have to hold you there. They're gonna have to keep you in custody for a little bit so they can put you in that rehabilitation center.
I guess over there, I'll be cool.
Like, I understand where you're coming from with the why is it the first? It's so they can hold you in this facility until they can get you spot in a rehab. Because as of late, rehabilitation centers are way packed. Hell, mental hospitals, which are a type of rehabilitation center, are also slam packed. It took me close to a week to get a bed in a mental hospital. I had to stay in the hospital for close to a week
Jesus.
just to go stay in a mental hospital for a week. And okay, this was really weird. I got out early, okay? Like, I wasn't in there as long as I should have been because of good behavior. And before you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. No, that's how they do things in prison. Good
I'm
behavior.
starting to see a lot of connection.
You got released for good behavior. I got discharged early because of good behavior. Not because I was feeling better, I was feeling horrible still, but I was respectful.
That's not very good, actually.
I was respectful. I was nice to the nurses, and they were like, hey, you're respectful, you're nice, you're probably not mentally unstable. I still needed a lot of help and counseling, but they were like, hey, get out of here. You're good. Get out of here.
You have any say in the matter, like if they tell you to leave?
No, not really.
Damn.
Not in the one I went to. Maybe in some other place I can ask to stay longer. I don't know. But the place I went to, I did not have a say.
I think that's kind of messed up how they just let you go if you're good. Like if you want to stay longer, do you have to like not be good?
If you
Like
want to
if you're
stay
in.
longer, and if you want that help, you have to constantly threaten suicide. The only way you can stay there longer. I've noticed, because people who constantly threaten suicide, they're there longer. I never did because I was like, hey, this is a mental hospital. It's not the place to say stuff like that. I know when it's inappropriate and appropriate to say stuff, and it was not appropriate in that at that point in time. So I was like, I'm not gonna joke around like that, because that's how a normal joke around, you know? I'm like, well, I'm gonna fucking kill myself. I didn't say anything like that because I knew that would make them think I needed a lot more help than I did. I just said, hey, I'm not feeling that great. I feel kind of upset, anxious. I feel worse than I did before, blah, blah, blah. I've been having crying spells, shit like that. But they didn't listen. They're like, hey, you've been good. You haven't been threatening to kill yourself, so you must be fine. Like, no, I'm actually still doing really bad. Can I get some more help? No, it's okay. Go ahead and go home. I know you miss your family. I'm like, what the fuck? rather stay here for a little bit longer so I can, like, fix myself and then go back.
Well, no,
because not even, like, 2 weeks later, I was back to hurting myself because I didn't feel right. I didn't feel comfortable. I was upset.
Yeah.
And if I had stayed a little bit longer, I feel like I could have prevented stuff like that from happening, but they didn't care.
Again, like, I it's just really messed up how they'll just let you go if you're good. Like, sometimes, you know, mental health isn't just going to cause you to not be a good person.
Right.
Like, you can be a great person, but you could still be thinking all of the terrible things that a lot of people do. No yeah. matter how nice you are. No matter how much you talk about it. So just letting you go just because you're nice is not a good thing.
It's not how it should have gone.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I feel like you should have stayed longer. I'm not saying that, hey, you should just be thrown in there forever. No, I'm not saying that. I just feel like if you were there for, like, just a bit longer, you would probably be in a way better place.
See,
you know, like,
I figured maybe I should go, like, long-term, not, like, my entire life. Long-term as in a few months. So yeah. I can actually get a lot more help. Because being there for 2 weeks, I wasn't used to the treatments they were giving me. And then they sent me home, and I was just starting to get used to it. And I'm like, what? I was just, like, starting to understand why y'all were doing that. What?
Yeah, short-term things never really work out well. Mostly because, you know, they're short-term. They're only supposed to work for a little bit. But if you're doing, if something's happening to someone that should deserve long-term, whatever, like, long-term treatment, it's like, okay, I'm about to compare this to, not chemotherapy, just normal medication.
Okay.
If you give someone medication and, like, they use it for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and they start to feel better, but they have to keep on using the medication to continue feeling better until they're completely nice, until they're completely good.
Right. Here, I'm going to...
If you take it...
I need to interrupt you for 1 second.
Me.
Okay. So, see. So, one of my medications, Prozac, it's a long-term antidepressant. Okay? I have to take that for a while for me to feel better. I haven't been taking it for a little bit because I just sort of stopped taking the pill because I haven't been up at the right time to take it. So I'm feeling a little worse. So it's sort of like going down a little bit. Like, hey, I should probably start taking those more. Yeah, I should probably start taking those more. Anyway, it's sort of like Prozac is a long term, and say antibiotics. Say you have an ear infection. You take antibiotics for a little bit. Once the pill bottle runs out, you're probably good. You don't feel bad anymore. And chances are it's not going to come back because you stopped taking the antibiotics after you'd finished them. But with Prozac or antidepressants or antipsychotics, stuff like that, it's going to be a long-term thing. And if you stop taking it, you're going to start feeling worse.
Yeah. That's basically what I was going to say.
I read your mind, bitch.
Yes, you did. You I was about to say psychopathic.
I'm a fucking psycho bitch.
Psychotic little motherfucker.
God damn. How rude.
What?
How rude.
Okay. You can call me a little bitch fucker. Piece of shit. You can say I hate you, fuck you, but as soon as I
nothing.
What the fuck do you say?
Nothing.
I'm going to I'm going to listen to this podcast and I'm going to hear what you said. So you might as well just say it now so that I don't have to go through that trouble.
No, I'm going to make you go through that trouble.
Stupid.
I can hear you. You're not quiet.
I'm not trying to be quiet. My mic is right here. Hello.
Fucking die, bitch.
Eat my ass, bitch.
Absolutely not.
Hopefully I wiped.
You fucking better have, you dumb bitch.
I did. I did.
You're a bitch.
What? Because I wiped my ass?
No, you're a bitch because you want me to eat your ass.
No, I don't want you to. It's the turn of phrase, like, eat my ass. You know?
That's a fucking offer, bitch. I'm not going to eat your ass.
You know what else is an offer?
What?
These nuts!
I hope you die! Oh my god!
Fucking got you, bitch.
Strawberry moo moo bag! It's so cute. I'm sorry. I had a stroke. I'm scrolling Instagram and I had a stroke. My bad.
It's okay.
Okay.
I think we're out of things to talk.
Have you finished your dot 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 V with my what? You know, Niagara Falls of blood, Satan's sacrificial waterfall. Period. Satan's sacrificial waterfall.
Have you finished your pussy bleed? Oh my god, my pussy throbbing. I think we're out of things to talk about. Should we end it here?
Fuck no. I'm enjoying.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway. This is so... Shut the fuck up. Sorry.
But Freaks is a good song.
It is a good song, but I didn't want to hear it right now.
Hopefully, I won't wake up this time. I won't wake up this time.
Drugs.
Drugs.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time. Fuck you.
Why are men so sexy?
I don't know.
look at my star chart.
Anyway.
What's the angle of the sun today?
Shut the fuck up. You fucking nerd.
I don't actually know what I'm talking about. Chart.
I think we should end it here because I have nothing else to talk about. And I know you have nothing else to talk about.
You just said fuck no.
Well, fuck yes now. So, this is Naya with Piss and Shit Disgust leaving. Bye.
Suck my ass. I'm Kagan Kelton. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out this week's episode of Piss and Shit Discuss. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you around. Thank you for sticking around this long, and I love you. Peace out, stay weird, rock on. I'm Naya, signing off.